This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
This is a weird rejoinder. I don't know if I've ever heard this song.
You haven't?
No.
You don't know who it's by?
Oh, I can see who it's by.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it even weirder.
It's a great song.
No, I've never heard this.
Really?
Where'd you find this? Is this popular with the kids?
No, we're doing 90s grunge today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
It's not popular with the kids. No, I must have missed this. I was out on this gravy train.
Pepper?
That's the name of the song?
Yeah.
By the Butthole Surfers?
Yes, that's correct, Chris.
Woo. Woo. Maybe I was glad to miss that train. All right. Joining us now is a longtime pal of mine. Does a great job, very entertaining show, especially at 8:25 on Tuesdays. It's really entertaining. You can watch it on Cova Sports TV. You can listen to it on Fox Sports Radio 1310 and 100.9 FM down in the Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads, Norfolk area. He is Johnny D. He is the host of The Morning Drive with Johnny D. He's got his own show named after him, baby. And he wakes up really early in the morning. And he does a nice little dancing jig that I saw on video that his associate producer, J-Lo, sent me. Woo! Johnny D, my guy. How are you, pal?
Ooh, I've been better, man. I mean, you got me coming on the show, and your producer's playing the Butthole Surfers from 1996.
That's right.
I think it was number one back in the day, too. Right up my alley.
That's right. Your alley. Here's the reason why I probably missed that song. I was probably so hammered all the time that it just slipped right past my feeble little brain. You know?
Wow, that was back in the heydays.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Okay,
yeah, I'm doing good. You doing all right? I know you work out. You pump the iron in the afternoon after slaying it on the microphone all morning. Did you have a good workout? You feeling strong?
Believe it or not, I was waiting until this segment was over.
Oh.
Before I did my workout.
Oh.
So when we're done, I'm going to head to the gym, and then I'm going to try to get a power nap in here.
Look
at you.
And
then we got a game at 6:40. We got a game at 6:40 tonight, bud.
That's right. That's American and Mount St. Mary's, regional interest. All right, let's start there because you're a big college basketball guy. I'm casual interest guy. But this tournament has some Virginia and local flavor. Norfolk State, down by you, they're obviously getting Paulie picked them to beat Florida, if you could believe that.
Well, Paulie's an idiot. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, come on.
He was just on. He said it was going to be 15 minutes of Italian. What did he say? Italian something or other between me and you. He picked Norfolk State over Florida in the 16-1 matchup. But we can't eliminate the potential of a 16-1 series. But tonight, like you mentioned, American, Mount St. Mary's. Last night, we saw North Carolina just completely trash San Diego State. So we're off and running in this thing already.
Yeah, I mean, tonight you're going to get a couple of programs where you got some first-timers, right? You got Dwayne Simpkins. You remember him from back in, I believe, the Providence days over there at American, first time in 11 years, I think?
Yes, since 2014. Yeah, and Dwayne's been around everywhere. I mean, he's been at Mason as an assistant. He's been at Maryland as an assistant. I mean, as a player, I mean, he's been everywhere.
Yeah, so, I mean, for him, first-time NCAA tournament, Mount St. Mary's. Same thing for who's that? Donnie Lind over there at Mount for the first time. I mean, look, this is the type of game where as long as American covers the two, I'm good. That's really what we're looking at right now.
Well, all right, so I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because here's what I contend, okay? And you tell me because, again, you're a big college basketball guy. So that's why I wanted to pick your brain. You know, I grew up in a hotbed of college hoops with the old Big East, Louis Konerseca, St. John's, Georgetown, Big John, Raleigh Massimino, Villanova, Jim Boeheim, Syracuse. And my interest in the game has waned. But gambling and, of course, brackets, I think, continues to fuel it. Is that what this tournament more is about, or is it about the actual games and competition in your eyes?
Well, I think it's a mixture. I mean, obviously the gambling. The only reason I'm watching this game tonight, Chris, let's be honest, is the gambling perspective.
Yes.
I really have no interest in watching a team out of the Patriot League take out a team out of the MAC with two A's, not one A.
Right.
The MAC with two A's.
Right.
That being said, though, there are some cool mid-major programs that because of the transfer portal and NIL and everything else, they got older teams. Mm-hmm. They got experienced teams. Look, the story behind Drake is amazing. You're talking about a guy that was at Division II that came over to Drake who brought four of his guys with him, where at the beginning of the year, Drake alum wanted nothing to do with this guy. What are we doing? Now we're Division II Drake, not Division I Drake. Well, look, you got camaraderie. You got chemistry. They know the system. They know how to play with each other. 30 wins later, they're one of the best stories of college basketball. So I think there's a mix with the gambling aspect is great. The one thing I will tell people, though, if you're going to gamble, you got to be careful because unless you've been following American Mount St. Mary's the entire year, you don't have a clue what's going on. Right. Like, I love Paulie with Norfolk State. Robert Jones has done a tremendous job in Norfolk State. Tremendous job. He's been at three NCAA tournaments. Brian Moore Jr. is a name you're going to hear a lot when they play Florida. But they're playing Florida. They're not going to compete with Florida. Florida is one of the best teams in the country. Florida is the hot, trendy pick right now, similar to a UConn the last couple of years. Florida has depth. Florida has one of the best guards. Which, by the way, the guard at Florida only ended up at Florida because Iona, where Rick Pitino recruited him and had him, couldn't pay him enough NIL money.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, you got storylines all over the place.
Real quickly, going back to before I get back to Florida and the one seeds, you mentioned Drake in the 11-6 matchup, and I know Missouri likes to push it and play up tempo, so that should be a pretty interesting game. But a lot of people on the 11 seed Drake, you mentioned that story, and you texted me earlier. So it was DeVries, who just went from West Virginia to Indiana, who I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, he was at Drake, right? That's what.
Believe he was at Drake for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and had a lot of success.
I made this comment on the show. I wish I was a college basketball coach because all you need to do is really have one good year, and you're going to get a payday.
Yep.
So he was at Drake from, I think, COVID year to 2024, first year at West Virginia, which, by the way, they won 19 games. It's not like you won 28, 29 games at West Virginia.
Which is why, by the way, I don't feel bad for West Virginia getting screwed out of this. I mean, if you look at the net rankings, they're in the 50s, and they didn't win 20 games.
Yeah, I mean, so again, you got a guy at Drake. He's at West Virginia for 1 year. He's got a nice year. He's got 19 wins. Now he's getting a payday from Indiana. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, he's had success. He was also at Creighton before Drake as an assistant.
Mm.
So, I mean, he kind of cut his teeth with Dana Altman over there, I believe. He was with Dana Altman
yep.
when he was at
yep.
Creighton back in the day.
Yep.
And then you got Greg McDermott, who's been had a tremendous success there as well. So he's got a little bit of all that going on.
Johnny D is the drive, is the host, rather, of The Drive with Johnny D, The Morning Drive with Johnny D. You can check it out, Fox Sports 1310, on the radio, 100.9 FM in the Norfolk, Hampton Roads area, foxsportsradio1310.com, and watch it on Cova Sports TV. I'm on with him every Tuesday at 8:25, so we wanted to bring on somebody that knows a lot more about college hoops than we do and have a little fun as well. You can follow him on Twitter. At Drive Johnny D. At Drive Johnny D. All right, so back to the one seeds. You mentioned mm-hmm. Florida. I look, I might be falling victim to it, but I think I'm really leaning towards Florida all the way as well. Auburn, we know they haven't been very good down the stretch, but arguably they were the best team overall in the regular season, and they were rewarded as such by the one seed overall in the tournament. Duke, we don't know how healthy they are, even if Cooper Flagg comes back and plays, which he's expected to. We don't know if he re-aggravates it. We don't know mm-hmm. if he's going to be the same player. And Houston and Kelvin Sampson, they just get by kind of like by guts and guile. So who's the favorite one seed? Is it Florida for you, or is it somebody else?
Interesting. Look, Auburn's really good, and they're old. They may be older than you. I mean, I think their average age.
Wait a second.
Seriously.
You just took a side swipe at me. Aren't you older than me, John?
That's a side point.
Uh-huh.
They got nine seniors that are multiple fifth and sixth-year seniors.
Right.
So
right.
That's something you got to look at with Auburn. They've done it all year long. Duke, I believe Duke is the biggest team in the tournament when you're talking about size-wise, believe it or not. Tyrese Proctor, who went off the other night, he's a 6'6 guard. You got Caleb Foster over there. You got the 7'2" kid in the middle. Cooper Flagg is really good. I don't expect to see Cooper Flagg the first weekend. They should be able to get by their first game and maybe a little Mississippi State without Cooper Flagg, but we'll see. They're really good. Florida, as you mentioned, might be arguably the best backcourt in all of college basketball. I'm a big fan of backcourts when it gets to the NCAA tournament. The only thing I have against Florida, though, their head coach, Todd Golden,
doesn't have a lot of experience, yeah.
No, he's 0-2 in the NCAA tournament. One thing about Houston that you brought up, this is the first year, though, that I believe Houston does three things at an elite level, which they have not done before. And the ability now to shoot better than 40% from the three
mm-hmm.
has been key. So they have not been able to shoot it in the past. They shoot it a lot better now. They play defense. They are physical.
Because their problem always was that they played effort, defense. They just didn't score enough. And to score consistently for six games to make mm-hmm. it all the way was the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they have problems scoring. They don't have problems scoring anymore.
Right.
So for me, I love Florida. And Florida, if you're looking at the betting odds, I think they're plus 350. I think Houston's a plus 600. Duke's going to be right at that plus 360. Plus, Duke has got a very easy road.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says. They got a very easy road. I'm a fan of Bruce Pearl, though, at Auburn, too. I think Bruce Pearl, I mean, this dude has been around a long time, and he knows how to do it in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
So if you were to ask me, I'm going to lean a little bit towards Florida. Would not be surprised if this is the year that Houston, back in the home state of Texas, where the Final Four is. Hey, Duke has an easier path. You're right. If Cooper Flagg is healthy, as my buddy put it, the thing with Duke this year is they're playing elite 90s-type defense, which they have not played before. That's what makes them really good.
Right.
But Malik Brown, that Syracuse trader over there, with the shoulder injury, that's going to be a key loss for them, because when you put him in there, Chris, and I'm going to go a little deep dive here for you, so keep up with me. When you put a little Malik Brown in there, now you got five dudes that could switch on D all over the court.
Mm-hmm.
That is a major advantage if you could pull it off.
Going back to Houston for a sec, to your point,
yeah.
They're number four nationally in shooting the three at nearly 40%. And we know, again, great defense, using the numbers from, that I'm looking at here, fifth in opponent's two-point field goal percentage. So meaning anything in between or in front of the three-point line. That's a pretty good combination. I got Houston at plus 650 to win it all. And you mentioned Todd Golden, obviously, at Florida and kind of the inexperience there. Is there a seed, not necessarily, a certain number, but is there a team that maybe is seeded, I don't know, anywhere 3 and 8, 9, somewhere in that range that you think could make a really long run like we've seen? I mean, we have seen, we saw St. Peter's. How many years ago? 3 years ago? Make it all the way to the Sweet 16. Was it the Sweet 16 or was it the Elite 8? I can't remember. I think it was the Sweet 16, the round of Sweet 16 in 2022. We saw Princeton in 2023 make it to the Sweet 16. I mean, the teams are going further from lower seeds, but is there a team like a Wisconsin or somebody like that that you kind of lean to?
They're not the sexy seed you were talking about, but I'll bring up a couple very quickly. Mm-hmm. Maryland, right in your back door.
Huh?
Maryland's really good.
Yeah,
their starting five is really good. I mean, they are really good. Clemson is another team that's got a little bit of age, got a little bit of experience. I saw Brad Brownell, I think, signed an extension today down at Clemson. They are another team where they can play physical, and they got some go-to guys.
Mm-hmm.
The kid Chase Hunter is really, really good. The one that I like, but a lot of people have them as a possible outside pick, and you're going to love this. If they can shoot the three like they did in their conference title game, St. John's could be right
there.
Ooh. I mean, defensively, there
they
might
can lock
be
down.
Nobody better.
Yeah,
they
I
can
agree.
Lock down. They can bang the boards. They can create a little bit of tempo. R.J. Lewis is nice. It's just, what scares me, Kadari Richmond, as good as he is, he stinks at free throw shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's your point guard down the stretch. And that may burn them.
Do they have to muck it up in order to win, meaning 50-58, 56 type style? Or can they play a more free-flowing game because of their offensive challenges?
Well, I mean, their defense creates their offense.
Yeah.
And, look, they can get up and down, but the problem is they don't shoot very well.
Yeah.
From the three-point line. But you're going to see all these stats where, believe it or not, I think you go back to, there's only been two teams to reach the Final Four since 2012 that have shot worse than 33% for the three-point range. That was Louisville in 2012 and Louisville in 2013. The Cards won the title. Their head coach, you got it,
Rick Pitino.
And
Louisville kind of got screwed. I mean, we talk about North Carolina getting in. They kind of proved some of their chops a little bit last night. We talked about West Virginia getting screwed, Indiana getting screwed, this getting screwed, whatever. How about Louisville? I know not Rick Pitino, obviously, anymore, but Louisville as an eight seed, what, they went 26 games, Johnny? I think it was 26 games.
They're good in the ACC, what, 18-2, something like that. 27-7. Your boy Bob Valvano just did a radio call for the Louisville Cardinal over there. Look, they're good. I mean, they got guys. They got transfers. The Chucky Hepburn, who I believe came over from Wisconsin.
Yes, he did.
Is really good. They got the couple more transfers that they brought in there that could fill it up. Terrence Edwards Jr., I think, is another one. They don't have a lot of size, though. I mean, that's the one thing with Louisville. They are a little bit undersized, and Duke kind of exposed that a little bit. But they're another team where they could go on a heater, possibly, depending. And look, I love how everyone is sleeping on Connecticut now.
Mm.
Like, Connecticut has won back-to-back
champions. But they haven't felt right all year, right? From that three-game losing streak in, like, Maui back in, like, November. They just haven't felt right all year.
One thing about Connecticut, for the last 2 years, they have been elite defensively.
Yeah.
Not anymore. But they can score with anyone in the country.
Yeah, that's because Donovan Klinging is over in Portland in the NBA, too.
So we're going to see how good Dan Hurley is.
Yeah.
If he can get his team ready, because that's another one where they're going to have a tough first-round matchup. And after that, though, that might be a team to not sleep on.
Interesting. All right, my friend. I appreciate you so much. I have a million other questions, but unfortunately, as you know, we got to stay somewhat to a break schedule here. But I appreciate the insight. I appreciate the analysis. I appreciate the expertise. And I'm going to put you down for Norfolk State going all the way to the national championship, right?
All the way. All the way. Nobody better than Paulie to tell us that Norfolk State is going to knock off the prohibitive favorite to win the NCAA tournament. What a moron. I mean, what is wrong with... I listened to some of your callers during the break, man. God bless you. That's all I got to say. There's got to be a lot of therapy in your office.
I'm a glutton for punishment. You know what it is? I've just given up on, like, you know, doing 30 seconds a call for radio and just being like, you know, what I try and do is, you know, as I often explain, is I try and give as much rope as possible so that you can kind of just, like, trip yourself.
And ultimately
expose yourself, you know?
Yeah, tell your producer thanks again for the Butthole Surfers intro music.
That's Mad Max Scherzer. He's up on loan from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Spectacular. Thank you.
That's how we roll around
here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Johnny.
I know you do.
I appreciate
you.
That's my guy, Johnny D. The Morning Drive with Johnny D on Fox Sports 1310 in the Hampton Roads area. Check him out. Good dude. Good dude, and gave us some good stuff on the college basketball tournament. Out to Sin City we go in a few minutes. My guy Steve Cofield will join us, another radio legend in Sin City. We'll get the gambling perspective. We'll get all sorts of things and some Las Vegas Raiders talk as well. That's all coming up. We'll try and squeeze in Double A when we come back on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Naughty thanks to my guy Johnny D for joining us. Steve Cofield from Vegas, Sin City, on the gambling spin and much more. It is as well. In just a couple of moments. But first...
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
My guy, Double A, Athens and Annapolis, is with us. Double A, how are you, pal?
I'm good, and I'll make it as quick as possible because I know you got a guest coming on. But, you know, as far as the Skins, I mean, you got to build the team in the trenches. I don't think we're becoming like Cincinnati because I do feel like the playoffs were naked without Cincinnati in them this past year, but they didn't make it because of their defense. And, you know, they got ran on, they got passed on. So it's great that they got their big three, but unless their defense gets better, I don't see them getting any better. And as far as us, people got to understand, the fans, everybody, we had 75% roster turnover last year and 33 new players. It's hard to replace a lot of players like that, you know, over the course of a year or two. So it's going to take time. So let me wrap up my call with just saying this. You know, I told Max, you know you're a gangster when you get mentioned and multiple times and you're not even on the show. And I appreciate Lou earlier because it's all fun and games with me.
Yes.
But I challenge anybody to go find another show where you have Dr. Sabah calling in and inviting you to come to Raleigh for the possible Alex Ovechkin goal that'll put him over the hump. You got Paulie that's called it on the past and gives you a hard time and talks about your underwear multiple times. And these calls last 3 to 5 minutes. What other station, what other show can you call in and talk to the host for 3 to 5 minutes? And yes, Chris, you interrupt and whatever, but it's your show. You have the right to do whatever you want. See, listen, if you called in and like talked to the junkies in the morning, it's about 12 and a half seconds till EB wakes up from his nap to interrupt you and to cut you off and insult you and just say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You just didn't like my tweet like Nikki Javala, and I'm going to make fun of you now. So listen, none of that stuff goes on your show. It's a blast. It's all in good fun. I love everybody. The banter is great, but the Varsity is the Chris Russell Show, and the best podcast in America is the Kevin Sheehan Show.
My guy. Love you. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm honored you're a smart man. I would agree. I mean, I can't say that the show isn't a little bit different than your average standard cookie. That's why I say we don't do cookie cutter radio around
here.
It ain't for everybody. It ain't for everybody. Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit different. My guy, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
You got it.
There you go. That is AA Athan in Annapolis. One of the good ones. One of the authentic ones. I mean, I wouldn't exactly describe the junkies as that, but you know, I can't censor people from a little chop busting, right? Because we all bust everybody's chops, right? It's an equal opportunity show. See, while the federal government's trying to get rid of equal opportunity, I'm an equal opportunity show. We bust everybody's chops to no end, right? It's how it kind of works.
It's true.
I mean, you know, we have an open door policy around here. All right, Steve Cofield from Sin City next on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. We're going to blow out the trending alert. We'll take a timeout and we'll come on back with Mr. Cofield from Vegas next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Final 20 minutes or so of the radio show, Graham. Time to go out to the sports betting capital of the world. Even though you can bet plenty of other places. Oh, we got to hang in there for one sec. We're about to be joined by my pal, Steve Cofield. He and I have done a lot of radio together over the years. We used to live in Las Vegas together. We used to work at the Mandalay Bay. We pretty much opened the joint in the Racing Sportsbook way back at that turn of the century. 1999. Used to work with Cofield, Brandon Tierney, who's now Middays WFAN and has been, JT the Brick, even the Fabulous Sports Babe for a little while, if you remember her, Scott Farrell. Some icons, man. Who else? Gosh. Holden Kushner wound up here for a number of years. Tim Ryan, who still does the 49ers games, former NFL defensive lineman. Zig Fricassi, who you hear from time to time with us here on Sirius XM. My goodness, we had a bunch of big names out there. So we are trying to effort hooking up with Mr. Cofield. We will try and do so. Just, you know, as we kind of go along here, we didn't fill out all of our brackets. So basically what I've decided is Max and I, after the show, are going to have to fill out the rest of the bracket together. based on the horrible choices that you guys made. I'm sort of teasing, but not exactly teasing. But I'm going to... all right, so he is not, I guess, I don't know what's going on. He's maybe tied up in a meeting or whatever, so we'll have to figure out a different time that works for him. Max, if you could just try, once more or whatever in a minute, or see if he picks up. We will see. But the bottom line is we will have to fill out the rest of the bracket, and maybe we will start doing that right here and right now on the air, because the point of doing the bracket and the point of doing it this way, all right, is the fact that I feel like, again, it's completely random, if not subjective. It's subjective in terms of setting the field. It's random, subjective in terms of filling out the bracket, what have you. So we are joined now by my pal, Steve Cofield, longtime radio host, legend in Sin City, ESPN, Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company. You can hear, also does some great work with UNLV, has done plenty of national work with SiriusXM, and as we were mentioning, Sports Fan Radio Network. Mr. Cofield, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Chris. Sorry I'm late. How you doing, buddy?
That's okay. That's all right. You're a busy man. When you are the king of Sin City, right? You have been there so long, and you have been making things turn for so long. There's nobody that should kind of, expect that you're going to be able to just give up your time. I mean, I know how precious it is.
All right. You're laying it on thick. Cut it out.
Hey, so obviously, I was talking about how we used to work together at the turn of the century, which makes us sound really old, in like Las Vegas. And I was mentioning earlier in the show, back then, right, when sports betting was only legal in Vegas, everybody would flock to Vegas for March Madness. I'm sure they still do. Have you? I don't know what that noise is, but have you noticed a significant trend downward in people flocking into Vegas, or is it about like the same and it really is still the mecca of the first weekend of the college basketball tournament? We're having all sorts of issues here. Cofield, you still with us? I think we lost him. Yeah, we lost him. I don't know what's going on here. This show has been a train wreck from the start. I try, people. I promise you. I try. I don't know what happened between Linnell screwing us and whatever that was. I try, man. I do my best. I promise you. I guess I could do more. I guess I could do better. But, sometimes technology gets in the way. All right, here he is. Okay, now I hear him laugh. What was that?
So Chris, I was getting out of the car. sorry about that. So your question was, is Vegas still a hotspot for the tournament?
I mean, I know it is, but is it the same as it used to be?
Do you want the truth?
Yeah.
This year is actually going to be interesting because I think it's the best place in the country to watch the tournament. I actually think it's better than Super Bowl Sunday. The first 4 days of this tournament, everyone does it up big. People come in. You basically hang out at a casino, in a ballroom or in a theater, like in a place like the Westgate. You got the betting windows right there. You got cheap food, and you just sit there all day long starting tomorrow. Basically our time, 8:30 until like 10 at night. It's awesome.
Right.
I recommend it to anyone, but interestingly enough, we just had kind of a weak Super Bowl turnout, and there really hasn't been an explanation as to why people didn't flock here to Las Vegas. Room occupancy wasn't, at 98% like it normally is. And maybe Vegas has overdone it with some of the prices. That might be one of the reasons. So this is actually a really, really big test this weekend if people still flock to Vegas. It is It's unmatched, dude, in terms of the good time that you can have and the ballrooms that are set up. So I expect there to be a big crowd. But, yeah, it's still pretty big here, even though there's gambling everywhere.
Right, because I remember, you know, back when we were working together in Las Vegas in a very different time in our society, you know, just say 2000, right? 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the spot. I mean, Mandalay Bay was like you could not even move in the race and sports book, and that was just one place. But that was when it was the only place to legally gamble, and now you can legally gamble in 38 states, but it's interesting to hear you say it that way. Is there a, I'll call it not a long shot, not a favorite, but a medium shot that Steve Cofield really likes from a gambling perspective or just making a Final Four run?
I have a Final Four that has Bama and Houston in it, but I also have Texas Tech and Maryland. And I might be overdoing it on Maryland, but yeah, I like the Terps. Obviously, they're a little thin on depth,
and
they got very overhyped. They got very overhyped at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Not that they, you know, I mean, they got to the big game in the Big Ten, but I like what they have. I like their big guys. I think Queen, I don't know if he's an immediate pro, but, man, I like that guy. He's mean. He plays with an edge. Their guards are not only good and can hit threes, but they're big. So that's one of the teams, and Texas Tech is another one that, you know, played really well in the Big 12 all year, probably didn't get the attention that some of the other Big 12 glamour teams got, like Arizona and Houston. And I'll also throw in with Texas Tech. It is going to play out here as one of the great experiments with NIL, because Texas Tech is among the top five schools in the country when it comes to football and basketball in terms of spending money. They've got billionaires behind them, and they've got millions and millions and millions of dollars invested in this basketball team. There was a very good freshman a year ago in New Mexico, JT Toppin. And from what I hear, New Mexico was able to give him about $600,000, and Texas Tech came in with over $1.2 million. So they were more than willing to double the money, and he has delivered. He's had a great year. So we'll see. Because the funny thing is, I think three of the other five top highest paid NIL teams actually didn't even make the tournament. So it's not always a guarantee that you spend money and you're going to make it.
Well, and that's an interesting point, too. And I made that point earlier. It still seems like the model can be one of two things, either what you were just talking about with Texas Tech and others, or you can still build a pretty successful team. Like if you look at, and they were had some transfers in and whatever. We were just talking to a previous guest, Drake, and you can still build a team and keep them together based on maybe not the NIL money, but based on, hey, you get an opportunity to play minutes and to hone your game and your craft here. Whereas if you go to one of these big schools, not every big school, but one of these big schools, you might sit on the bench and play 8 minutes a game, but you get your money.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Aidan Mahaney is a good example. He's a guy who was at St. Mary's, and they're still good, and they're good without him, and he went to UConn and really didn't play a whole lot at different parts in the year, and I'm sure he got a ton of money from UConn. I don't know what his payout was, but I think the coaches with NIL are talking to the wrong people. I'm tired of the belly aching. You know, all the elite coaches make $2 to $7 million a year, come up with some solutions, and you know where the solutions can come from? How about the coaches? Because the most undisciplined of everyone, while they piss and moan about the NIL, the second they have a chance to go out, get more money and spend on players and steal other schools' players, they do it.
That's
so they completely lack discipline. To me, it's on the coaches. And I also think you can – now, it's going to be a lot more like JUCO when you're building your team, Chris. You're basically going to have a new team every year. You might have five holdovers. You might lose four guys to other schools. But it's a year-round job, and again, you're making good money. Come up with solutions. You know, it's funny. I just saw a thing today, a note that – you know, the top eight seeds are held by coaches who are, you know, 60 plus or super veterans of the sport. And it's guys like Tom Izzo and Kelvin Sampson. And while others have chosen to walk away, those guys have adjusted and they have money. But guess what? When you're a coach, part of it is generating money. So those guys have made the changes. And while others whine and don't succeed, you know, change with the times, brother.
Fair point. Fair point. Steve Cofield joining us, Cofield and Company, ESPN Las Vegas, and just a longtime pal. You can follow him on Twitter, straight up, or X or whatever, at Steve Cofield. Before I run out of time, because of me, that's all right. I wanted to ask you about the Raiders. Pete Carroll, obviously, in. John Spytek in. They signed Jeremy Chinn from here at the Commanders. They obviously traded for Geno Smith, which which is the big move that they made, and they re-signed or extended Max Crosby. Are people, yourself, others in the media, fans excited about the direction of the Raiders, or wait and see?
I mean, it's a weird deal. I think they lined themselves up for some success, immediate success, but that means getting 9 wins, right? They're still kind of playing that middle class of the NFL, which doesn't really get you anywhere in the long term. Maybe they will draft one of these quarterbacks, and Geno will be a 2-year bridge. So there's some excitement. And the quarterback play last year, Chris, was horrendous. Pete Carroll is a culture changer, so I still think they're in a building mode here, and my guess is the win total will probably come out at 7.5, 8. I know some books already have it out there, but I don't think they'll be considered an over 500 team. So building, going in the right direction, but not there yet.
In terms of the fan base out there, with so much going on, and you know, just every, I mean, the A's are coming in a couple of years, or the Athletics, I should say, are coming in a couple of years, whatever. The Raiders, obviously. The Vegas Golden Knights winning the Stanley Cup 2 years ago. Just and everything. Is Las Vegas, as a sports town, what you would consider not the traditional still sports town in terms of the diehard nature of it now? Or is it more just still a gambling and entertainment and big-time event town?
I guess more of the latter. The local teams, listen, the Golden Knights have a home crowd. They have, I don't know what the total number is, you know, say 90,000 hardcore fans in the area, but they sell out every game. They were born here. It's an original team. People love that team. The Raiders, listen, everyone's got an NFL team already. So the Raiders, I think, are going to take 15 or 20 years to get that, you know, that whole generation of kids on their side. They also have to win. And some numbers came out last week. The stadium only holds like 59,000 outside of the luxury.
We lost him again? Did we lose him again?
The phone is still there and connected, but there's no noise, so okay. It appears that yes.
All right. We tried. My guy, Steve Cofield, God bless him, needs to take some of that gambling money, and we need to get a better phone connection. All right, we'll let it go there because we are out of time. Dumb Dumb of the Day next, right here on the Team.80 and the Odyssey app. All right, my thanks to Steve Cofield. We had some technical issues. I also found out something during the break that is his own, stuff to deal with. We'll
bigger fish to fry, we'll say.
Yeah, exactly. More important things to deal with. So I appreciate my pal for making some time for us when he's got a lot going on. So here's what we're going to do before we turn it over to Craig Hoffman. Again, this is our final show of the week. We are going to end the show the way we try and end every show with Dumb Dumb of the Day. This is my fear all the time. Tripping over a pet. Yes.
A pen?
A pet.
Oh, pet.
A dog,
oh,
cat.
That happened to my
you.
Dad. He smacked his head on the corner of a dresser and got a bad concussion like 6 months ago.
So I almost feel bad for doing this, but I'm going to anoint somebody who tripped over their own cat at home.
Okay.
In London, the Dumb Dumb of the Day. Here's the story. A UK man survived tripping over his cat, but he sustained a broken neck, a fractured spine, smashed ribs, blood in his lungs, and other car crash-evoking injuries from tripping over his cat. The 59-year-old said it was quick. It was over within seconds. He was at the bottom of his stairs after tripping over his cat. And I would say this. Again, this is a fear of mine.
It should
but
be.
It is why I literally go down the stairs, any stairs, but I literally go down the stairs at home like a 85-year-old man.
One at a time. You take it slow.
Because I am paranoid of slipping or tripping while going downstairs. And this guy almost killed himself on a hairless Egyptian sphinx kitten.
Oh.
So there. Sorry. One more pain. Dumb Dumb of the Day to your punishment for tripping over your damn cat. That is going to do it for us. little bit of a debacle at times today. We tried. Effort was there. Thanks to Mad Max, who always puts in a great effort. Thanks to Steve Cofield. Thanks to Johnny D. Thanks to you for calling, listening. Max and I are going to go try and figure out the rest of this bracket so that we can enter it into the system. I will see you next Monday. Check me out social media throughout the weekend. Craig is up next, NCAA tournament in our stead over the next 2 days. Enjoy the madness.